Welcome to episode number 25 of the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast, where Christina and I discuss hashtag balance and growth mindset. We got a lot of good feedback and ideas from the maintenance mindset episode that we did, and we wanted to expand on what balance means to us, to our clients, and how you can define what hashtag balance is for you. We discuss how a balanced lifestyle is portrayed on social media and how that's not always accurate, and how to implement a growth mindset for lasting habit change and a truly balanced approach to your training and nutrition. As always, if you like the podcast and you want to support it, all we ask is that you share this episode with a friend, family member, or coworker who would benefit from it. One share can go a really long way and supports our mission to help as many people as possible to live a healthier, sustainable lifestyle. Finally, we would love you even more than we already do if you took the time to leave us a rating review on iTunes. Ratings and reviews are how this podcast moves up the ranks and becomes accessible to even more people. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you enjoy this episode, number 25, hashtag balance and growth mindset.
Guys, and welcome back to the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Christina Lynn, and I'm here with my co-host, Marissa Roy. And in today's episode, we're going to discuss balance.
Not just balance, but hashtag balance and everything about it. We're doing the hashtag with our fingers if you're not watching on YouTube. But yeah, so I think we talked about doing this, and we just recorded the maintenance mindset as well. Mm-hmm. So these two episodes are going to go really well hand in hand, but I touched on this a lot over the weekend and earlier on this week because my birthday was last Friday. So I turned 24 for any of those who are wondering. Yes, I am a baby. And
so everyone go spam Marissa's page right now if you didn't wish her a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, so it was a great day. But what I really took away from it regarding food was the balance aspect. And I think there's a lot of things going on, at least in my life right now, that kind of speak to balance, not only with food, but with life and with work. And so we're going to talk about all of those things. But I did want to do a little recap of my birthday, not just because I'm egocentric and selfish, but because it's relevant. And basically, I was able to eat everything I wanted and actually hit a low weigh-in the next day. So I'm still cutting right now. We actually decided an end date for my cut, which will be 2 weeks from today. So we're recording on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, and I'm going to be finished on May 19th. And if you're on YouTube as well, you can see I have like a mug from Mexico, and I did that completely unintentionally today.
Wow, look at that.
So festive.
Festive AF.
Yeah, but so I didn't want to just say that and be like, I ate everything I wanted and hit a low weight. But like, so I've been pushing really hard with the diet, and every other day I've been absolutely adherent. And we're coming up on 12 weeks of dieting now, and we're actually extending it 2 weeks just because I have a lot of stress dropping off that I'm excited to just push for a couple more weeks before we reverse. But I think the important thing here was my mindset going into the birthday and how much it has changed over time, over the years. Like I made a post on Monday about it because I just thought it was so relevant that, you know, just because it's a holiday or just because it's your birthday doesn't mean that you need to eat yourself sick and just feel awful about yourself. And in fact, a lot of the dialogue that I was having that day around food was me expressing that, you know, I don't really enjoy things as much if I eat too much of them, because then I feel guilty. And then that guilt takes away from the experience. And so basically how the day went was I started the day by training legs, and I trained legs with an awful, awful program. It's a great program that my coach wrote, and completely crushed that. Had a normal pre-workout meal before that. And if you haven't listened to our pre and post-workout nutrition episode, that means that I had a lot of carbs pre-workout, just like a normal high carb day pre-workout meal. post-workout, one of my friends at the gym actually baked me some muffins for my birthday, and he is like super into macro tracking and is a coach as well. So he wrote the macros on there.
Aww, I know. A good friend.
Although I didn't need it that day, it was awesome to just like have and know. Yeah. So I had half of one of those because I was like, you know, I'm going to have a lot of food today. So I'm just going to like have half of this, enjoy it. And I had that with a protein shake. And then I actually, so I asked Aaron, hey, what are we doing? Like, should I plan to go out to lunch with you? He was like, yeah, we'll get lunch. So he was like, you need to be ready to go at like 12 or 1 because he works night shift. So he woke up early and we went out for my birthday activities, which he had planned, and I had no idea. So I was expecting to go to lunch first. Turns out we actually go go-kart racing first. And then essentially we didn't have lunch. And so I was driving like around this windy go-kart path, like with an empty stomach at that point. And it was still really, really fun, but I get really motion sick. So it was a little queasy towards the end. But after that, we got lunch at Chick-fil-A because we were like, there's nothing really planned. We just want to get a quick bite to eat on the road. So I actually was like, I could get a cookie. I could get fries. I could get a fried sandwich, which like I normally never get from Chick-fil-A because like I'm pretty macro conscious all the time. And I ended up going with the same thing I always get, even when I'm like tracking or even if I was dieting. So I got the market salad.
Yep.
With light Italian. And if you guys don't know, the light Italian is like 1.5 fat and like 2 carbs for the whole packet. And then I got frisky with it and I added the granola that it came with.
Ooh.
I know. I was like, I'm being so bad. No, but like, I just added it because I was like, yeah, you know, I could use a little bit more carbs with this. And then just a big diet lemonade. I passed on the cookie, even though they're really good there, but I was like, I'll probably have a cookie later today. So I'll just save it for later. And that was my lunch and it was super satisfying. And then the only like real indulgence was dinner. And even at dinner, I had a couple of checks and balances in place. So those include, so nachos are like one of my number one things to eat when I'm like, I want to cheat on something. And I did get full permission from my coach to just have a free day. So my mindset was like, okay, I definitely want nachos. We picked a place that had them and we were going to special order nachos with pulled pork. But I realized, okay, there's a bunch of other stuff we're going to be ordering. So we actually did it with pulled chicken just to keep it lighter. So that was one. We also didn't expect to, but ended up ordering Reuben egg rolls. And if you also don't know, Reuben sandwiches are like my Achilles heel for sandwiches. So we ordered those and it came with 2. So we just split that in half. And then because the appetizers were so heavy, I just ordered a glazed half chicken and I subbed veggies for fries because I was like, after all that, I really don't need it, even though I could have. I totally could have. I could have eaten myself sick with that. But I was like, I really don't need it. Aaron got tater tots, so I picked a couple of those and I was able to actually enjoy the entire meal and leave feeling like my belt wasn't going to bust open. And so that was the experience. And then waking up the next day, and 2 cookies before bed because hashtag I love cookies, but woke up the next day at a new low. And so there's 2 things that I want you to take from listening to this recap is, first of all, like I said, just because it's a holiday or it's your special day, it doesn't mean that you have to eat everything and anything in sight and you don't have to throw everything you've learned about proper nutrition out the window just because it's that special day. You can still implement some checks and balances to implement moderation. And 2, you know, this is the first time that I've really eaten off track in 12 weeks. So this hashtag balance that I'm flaunting around, it's cool and all, but think about how infrequent that is. And so when we're talking about balance, and we're about to get into this, but like just how it's portrayed versus what the reality is. And we talked about this with the maintenance mindset as well. It's really not as frequent or as free as most people tend to think it is or portray that it is.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's really nice that you felt like fully satisfied and you're fully present in the day and food didn't consume you. Because I think what happens with a lot of people is, you know, if they're on track for 12 weeks and then they have this opportunity for a free day, they kind of feel like, well, I need to get in everything that I possibly can within these 24 hours before I have to go back on plan. And I don't remember. Oh, so I saw someone who posted this on her story that she had saw that these coaches were implementing like this 15-minute rule that like once a week. Yeah, it's, if you just saw Marissa's face, it is as cringy as it sounds. These coaches will tell their clients that you have 15 minutes to eat whatever you want.
Oh God.
And, yeah. And so when I read that, I was like, oh my God, like that sounds like a recipe for an eating disorder. But yeah, so these coaches are letting their clients eat whatever they want for 15 minutes and then it's back on plan. And I was like, my thinking is like, I feel like it's like that supermarket show where you're like running down the aisles trying to put your cart. So that's what I imagine with clients, like going into the pantry and it's just like supermarket, like whatever you can grab. But it's such it's like that scarcity kind of like mindset that like, you can't have this. So you need to get it in when you're able to, and then it's back on plan. And I just feel like that's, it makes my head hurt thinking about for clients and like their bellies and how much they must hurt after that 15 minutes. But
yeah. Oh man. I think you mentioned that or someone mentioned that. So it was brought to my awareness just slightly in the past couple of days as well. And like, it's like you said, scarcity and like get it all out of your system type of mindset. And so this is something that I feel like I've moved away from, and it hasn't been overnight. It wasn't something that just happened, right? Like I've been at this, and this is the other thing that I really tried to hit home. It's I've been at this whole macro tracking, flexible dieting, and practicing what I preach thing for like close to 7 years now. So yeah, it's cool that I was able to do this, but like, think about how much trial and error has preceded this event. And like I said, like, this is one of the first times that I've really been able to be that present, use that much moderation, and still be wholly satisfied. And that's not me saying that it's going to take you 7 years. So like, don't listen to that and get discouraged, but like just the fact that, you know, it sounds great, right? Like it sounds like, oh, I've achieved hashtag balance. I am enlightened. I have nirvana, like all of the above. But in reality, it's been this process of learning the entire time. And it's funny because I actually had a client reach out to me after last week's episode dropped yesterday. So Tuesday, the maintenance mindset. And she was basically like, I really struggle with this. And I really struggle with that idea of balance. And I do feel like I need to get it all out of my system when I cheat. And I don't know if I can overcome that. And I was like, listen, like, this is just something that we have to continue to try to navigate together. It's not something that's going to happen immediately. And like, you're going to make mistakes. You're still going to have, and I will say this too, I will still have moments in the future where I maybe have some of that mindset come into play of I got to get it all out of my system now. And like, maybe it's less so than before, but we have to look at like those little baby steps that we're making.
Yeah. And like Marissa was saying that we have, while we are coaches, we have definitely had our fair share of experiences where we've had guilty moments. We've far overate what we should have. We feel guilty. We feel gross. We feel sick. But, and again, this is something that I preach with my clients over and over, that like, I want progress, not perfection. So what it's like, okay, you had an episode where you overate. So like, tell me about it. Like what happened? What were you feeling? Kind of express it to me. And so they're like, well, I overate, but normally in this situation, I would have just said F it and eaten everything. But at least I was like more conscious this time and I did this. And so I'm like, okay, so you had this experience. It wasn't something that you're like, quote unquote, happy with, but here's how we've improved from last time this happened. So it's like, we are making progress. We are making changes. So I don't feel like there are any failures like, or like mistakes, only lessons learned. And like, how can we improve on this for next time? But saying like, you know, as I say that, I'm taken back to my first I would say my first prep was pretty intense and I had to get really low calorie. I mean, I got very, very little. I was 107 pounds at 5'4". I was teeny tiny. And it was just usually how you are for your first show. You have not a lot of muscle. But I remember the first like 2, 3, 4 weeks coming off of that prep, I was eating things that I didn't even really like, but it was just because I had the freedom to eat. And I was like, I almost kind of felt out of control and food just consumed my every thought. So even though I was with a group of people, I just wasn't present because I was thinking about the next time I could go eat something. So it's definitely something that kind of just over time, you kind of understand like, okay, I'm just going through these different phases. And just because I'm in a cutting phase doesn't mean that food won't always be there. And just because I can eat all this food doesn't mean I should, that food will always be there. So I think it's really good. And one of the things I tell clients is like really focus on being in the moment and being present. And so someone tells you that, but it's like, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be fully present? It's like, you know, there might be like, I'm a big charcuterie board person. there might be charcuterie or something on the table or like a bowl of chips. And it's like something like you're having a conversation with someone, but it's hard because you're like thinking about the food. And it's like, it's almost kind of like how I feel right now during podcasts is sometimes I let my mind wander and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have this to do after we get off. I have this to do. But I have to like say like, you know what? That is not my focus right now. Like my focus right now is the podcast. I have to not think about those other tasks because otherwise I'm not giving myself fully to this conversation. I'm not being present. So it's the same thing when you're like with your family or your friends. It's like, if you're constantly thinking about food and like, oh, I'm going to feel guilty. I have to check in with this and are my pants going to fit tomorrow? Or is the scale going to be up? Like you're not fully there with your friends or your family. You're not involved in the conversation. And I feel like it's really sad because if you think about like you're like a couple years from now, if you think back on that night, you're not thinking about like the fun times you had, the fun conversations, like you're thinking about how you felt and like how you ate yourself sick. And so being fully present is trying to remove yourself and detach from the food. And again, focus on other things that's like here and now and in the present.
Yeah. Can we tell people the charcuterie board reference? Because you said that and I was like, we have to. I almost just blurted it out. So when we were in New Mexico visiting Christina, basically she loves charcuterie boards and
so much. It was all I was craving this prep. I do not know why.
So did you come up with this or was it like
No. So my husband makes fun of me all the time. And he just makes fun of me all the time because it's like, you know, charcuterie is just like a fancy lunchable, like, you know, so I don't know. So he makes fun of me all the time for wanting it. And like, he hates it because he's like, I don't know, we'll go camping with friends and like, we bring out like charcuterie. And he's like, this is so dumb. Like, this is supposed to be this fancy or like, you know, we're out there camping and we're having like charcuterie. He hates it. So he makes fun of me all the time for it. So he sent me the meme or like the little thing on Instagram. Yeah.
So it basically says like, whoever thought of charcuterie probably was like looking to plate like their adult Lunchables or whatever. And they're just looking around and they go, y'all got any fucking wood?
No, you ruined it.
What is it?
No, so it's like, we have all this meat and cheese, but all of our dishes are dirty. Someone's like, y'all got any fucking wood?
Okay, well, I didn't know the meme. So you paused. So I was like, I'm going to try to tell it. But yeah, so now literally every time that like we're in a store, grocery store, like Walmart, Target, we pass by like the cutting board section, like me and Aaron just look at each other. We go, y'all got any fucking wood?
There was one time I was leaving work and there was a truck I was behind and it was like wood or something on the back. So I like took a picture of it and sent it to Aaron and Marissa. Like I wrote like, y'all got me. It was like a truck.
Yeah. So that's definitely a good one. I had, I had to do a little side tangent for that because it's important. But like you said, being present and being able to detach from food is something that takes practice and takes work. Mm-hmm. And I can remember a number of circumstances where I was hyper-focused on overeating and how I felt and how guilty I felt. And to be honest, like, I can't even tell you like really much about those situations, those like conversations, those events because of that. And it really did take away from it. So it's not something that I haven't experienced. But thankfully through trial and error and just constantly like, you know, engaging with this kind of content where we're really aiming to make our mindsets stronger has been beneficial in just reflecting and setting intentions and going about those events and things the right way.
Yeah, I agree. It's trying to say, okay, well, I went out to dinner and this happened and I was feeling this. So how can I improve next time I go out to eat? How can I do better next time? Like, and so a lot of times sometimes people have trigger foods. So something easy to eat, like chips. It is easy to eat an entire bag of chips. Like they're basically designed, like created for you to continue to consume. So things like that, it can be hard. So maybe if you're at an event, you like fill your plate and you grab like a handful and put it on your plate and walk away. Mm-hmm. So you're not just sitting there in front of the bowl, doing things like that, making sure you're constantly filling up on water, throughout meals or throughout drinks. And, you know, alcohol too can really hurt if you are intoxicated. It's, you don't have that filter anymore and it can be easy to overeat. So things like that. But again, trying to focus more on like who you're with and the conversations you're having can be really, really helpful. And also like eating before social events too, it seems kind of like counterintuitive because you're like, why would I eat if I'm going to go fill up on all this food? But if you go into an event and you're starving, you're going to be more likely to overeat than if you had, you know, like maybe even like a protein shake or something on the way there. You're just a little bit more full and you maybe won't eat as much.
Yeah. I always advise my clients, you know, if you're going to go to this big social event, have a protein shake like less than an hour before. And like, it just helps with decision-making because then you're not making decisions based on your stomach. You're making it cognizantly. So, And I think that just plays into, okay, well, how do we implement this hashtag balance into our day-to-day and into those social events? And we'll do a whole podcast on social events too, but like, you know, how do we actually make those better decisions? And one of the first steps really is, okay, take the focus off of the food first, because this is about more than just food. This is about behavior and life. And how do we make these decisions fit into our life context, but also serve our goals, right? And so when you take that singular focus off the food, it's not the most important thing about the event anymore. So then why does it matter if you eat a burger and fries when you could get a burger and a side of veggies or a lettuce wrap burger and fries? And so I think a lot of times we put food on this pedestal or we like idolize it as this thing that is so magical, but really what are we going to a restaurant for? We're going for the experience and for the people and for the conversation. So I think that's like one of the first steps of achieving that balance is taking it off that pedestal. Like, and it's really hard to do that if you're cutting, if you're in a deficit, because you're already hungry at that point. So taking yourself out of that position and like looking at things objectively is a lot harder, but it's still possible. But you just have to keep in mind that awareness of like, hey, I'm extra hungry right now, so I need to really think through this.
Yeah. And we talked in the maintenance mindset podcast episode about the idea of what we see as balance on social media. And sometimes that kind of skews our own personal version of balance and what that means for us. And so I brought up the topic of alcohol. So I do like to drink, and I feel like sometimes that's taboo in the fitness industry, but I enjoy it. And especially because it's something that you socialize with people and it usually involves alcohol. So for me, because I'm no longer in prep I'm like, hey, I want to incorporate this into my lifestyle, because I know when time comes, when I'm cutting and when I'm in prep again, it's something that I can't have. So that is kind of my version of balance, but I could go the extreme and have something to drink every single day. But to me, that's not balance. That's like almost overdoing it. So like I mentioned before, to me, it's having it only on the weekends, or on like a very special, like social event or something, because it's like, I don't know. I kind of was thinking about the other day. It's like, oh, well, maybe balance is just like one a day. Like, you know, cause it's not like, I don't know, free every single day or something, which is, I'm not an alcoholic. But like, I was like, well, isn't that more balanced than like putting restrictions on myself to the weekend? But so we can get sometimes a little like, there's those gray areas, those gray lines where it's like, well, is this restricting if I'm doing this, if I'm setting rules for myself? But I'm like, you know what? No, I just, to me, like that is a good balance for me. It's like, I don't need it. And it's something that I want to do. But I think a lot of times you see balance on social media and it's like people portray themselves as like, I can eat whatever I want every single day. And that is balance. But I still feel like there are certain like rules, or there are certain kind of trade-offs or strategies that they implement throughout the day where it, yes, it technically kind of is everything that they want to eat, but they might be cognizant of like, oh, well, I had, you know, salmon for lunch. So therefore something for dinner, I'm going to have like chicken, or I'm going to have a leaner cut of meat, or, oh, I had, I want to have French fries with my burger for dinner. So therefore for lunch, I'm going to have a salad. So there might be like certain sort of trade-offs that they make, but from someone else's perspective, it's like, oh, I went to Chick-fil-A and got whatever I wanted. I went to dinner and I got the burger and the fries. Or they only show what they eat on the weekends. And then during the week, they maybe not consciously restrict, but they have a lower intake. So on the weekends, it doesn't like that calorie, that energy balance kind of averages out. So it's hard from the outside looking in to see what people are actually doing. And again, what balances for someone else may look different for what it is for you.
Yes. And I think also like when someone says on social media, well, I eat whatever I want and I don't gain any weight or I stay fit or whatever it is that they do that is desirable. I think it's important to dive into what is it that they want to eat, because these are not people that are new to lifting or new to nutrition, right? So like these people that we're looking at that we, I guess, idolize in a way or put on a pedestal in that sense.
Influencers.
Yeah. And so they have great bodies and great metabolisms, or so it seems, but guess what? They've probably been tracking their food for years. They probably have all of this in-depth knowledge on nutrition and fitness. And it's the same thing as the people who post a swipe workout like every single day, right? Like they post a different workout every single day. They say, here's my back and biceps workout for the day. Go give this a shot. And, you know, ultimately, they have not made the progress to where they are from doing these swipe workouts. They used progressive overload. They used proper programming for years and years and years. They built their base and now they're just maintaining and marketing this sexy way of training. And so it's the same thing for nutrition. They didn't get to where they are now by doing what they're doing now. They got to where they are now by probably tracking their macros, maybe getting a little too obsessive over it, getting, you know, to a place where they know food like the back of their hand. And so, yes, when they make the decision to swap the burger bun for fries, or when they make the decision to, you know, get a fattier meat for lunch and then a leaner meat for dinner because those things balance out, they're doing that because they have years and years and years of knowledge and experience in that area. So they can make those decisions and it's what they want to eat because they're already adapted to living a healthier lifestyle. And so they might be at a level like, I don't know, 10 of knowledge, experience, and being able to make these decisions and exercise discipline. Whereas someone who's looking from the outside in, like you said, comparing themselves, asking why they can't do that, why their balance doesn't look the same way. But that person who's looking in has no knowledge of nutrition. So they don't even know why that person is swapping a burger bun for French fries or the other way around. Mm-hmm. They don't know why it's important to have a fattier meat at one meal and a leaner meat at the other, because they don't understand the concept of total energy intake or macronutrients. And so if you're a level one looking at a level 10, hashtag balance can look really great, because it's like, oh, I'm eating whatever I want and I'm staying fit. But what does that really mean? It means that you have this base built up and then you exercise. And this is where, like, what I talk about with my clients all the time comes in. Is when I give someone macro tracking as an approach to their diet, it's very easy to get very focused on, okay, these are my numbers and I hit the numbers and that is what food is. But what we're really trying to take from it is, what is the meaning from those numbers? What are the principles and the habits that we use to hit those numbers? And that's what those people are doing without tracking. So they say, oh, I intuitively eat now. They don't intuitively eat. They mindfully track their macros without an app. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what they're doing to maintain their weight. They're keeping an eye on everything in their portion sizes because they know those things. So like, ramble aside, like, that is what we see on social media. That's what people say. So when I say I ate whatever I want and I hit a new low weigh in the next day, I made a bunch of trade-offs to my intake. I made, you know, sacrifices here and there. I implemented moderation and all of these principles that, again, I've been learning for 7 years, and it ended up with a favorable result this time.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So one of the things that you made me think of was, I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about muscle and training, and specifically within the bikini division. And I think someone was asking, like, why is it that top bikini pros don't seem to lift very heavy? And so the response was actually that they train in Austin and they train out of a gym that Angelica Teixeira works out of. They were like, you know, we see her doing like circuits. She's not lifting heavy, but she's on the more muscular side. So she has developed her physique from doing, like we mentioned before, those hard, intense lifts, progressive overload. But now she's at a point where she doesn't need to build muscle. She just needs to maintain it. And that's a lot easier to do. So for her, it's not that her workouts aren't hard, but you look at her and say, oh, okay, well, she's doing booty kickbacks with a band and she's doing this. So that must be what I need to do in order to grow my glutes. But for her, she's not trying to grow right now. She's just maintaining her muscle mass. So it's hard, again, from that outside looking in, but it's like, once you've gotten to a point, it's a lot easier to maintain than if you're trying to make changes.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, DeRaja Hill is the same way. So she's an Olympia level bikini competitor. And at one point I saw on her story, she's a core nutritionals athlete. So I follow her, and she posted about the fact that she trains like 3 times per week in prep. And like the rest of her training is just like walking and like her diet. And people look at that and they're like, oh, it must be so easy to be a bikini competitor. It's like, no, like she had too much muscle. And like you said, maintenance is so much easier. Like you might need to train 5 times per week for an hour to build muscle, but to maintain that same level of muscle and strength, I mean, there's been research done on the maintenance of strength and muscle hypertrophy. If you give yourself a stimulus, say you want to maintain your squat strength. If you go in and you work up to a heavy single once per week and do one set of one, you will maintain like 90% of your top strength. Like it's not hard. So people think like, I took a week off the gym, I'm going to shrivel up into nothing. Like it's actually so much easier than you think. So mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then like when it comes to diet, these people who have gotten to a certain place in their body composition, right? Like they have a certain amount of muscle, they have a certain amount of body fat, and they look good and feel good at that. What does it take to maintain that? Well, you can be a little bit more lenient once you've gotten to a good place within reason and maintain that easier than the fat loss phase it took to get there, right? And so it's kind of along the same principle. And especially when you've been at it for years and years and years, your muscle doesn't just go away. So your metabolism doesn't just go to shit if you, you know, take a week off, right? But mm-hmm. It takes a long time to get there.
Yeah, I agree. So Maybe we should jump into like what balance looks like for us and so for our clients. So I've talked a little bit again about alcohol and how I incorporate that into my balance. So the other thing too, right, my nutrition. But the other thing is I try to, so for me personally, I don't go out to eat a ton. It's just something that I like to view as a treat. And so when I go out to eat, I still like to make, like you were saying before earlier with your birthday, like I like to make mindful decisions. I like to make sure I have something that is very centered around a protein source and kind of go from there. So if people get an appetizer, if, you know, a charcuterie board, something like, I don't, I'm not like, oh, I had this and that. And so this is adding up to fat and cheese. It's like, I will enjoy myself and have a little bit of everything, but it, like that's enough to satisfy my need. And I don't feel this like I have to go overboard. I just like a little bit of everything. And that's enough for to kind of like satisfy and not track. Like I won't track when I go out to dinner most of the time right now in my off season, just because I don't do it that frequently. So it's like a, it's a treat for me. And so, and again, it's the same thing. I'm very mindful of like, still, if I know I'm going out to eat, I am mindful throughout the day to always get in a lot of protein. I might cut carbs and fats a little bit, but not carbs when it comes to like training. So that's still a priority for me, but I don't know. I still feel like that's a very good balance for me personally. And so I actually had a client who we had one of our monthly calls this morning, and she was like, hey, I'm going on a 3-day trip. Should I bring my food scale with me? Should I bring my body weight scale? And I was like, body weight scale? Absolutely not. And I was like, you're not like, you do not like, that's fine. Just weigh yourself when you come back. Like if you want, like, give it a day or two if you want, but no, you don't need to do that. And I was like, as far as your food scale, I was like, that's 100% up to you. I was like, as your coach, I'm not going to tell you one way or another. I was like, you make very good decisions on your own. And I was like, I feel very confident that when you go on vacation, you're going to make good, responsible decisions. And I was like, I actually almost don't want you to track. I was like, just because you have been so diligent the past 13 weeks that I just think that 3 days off is not going to like kill your gains or kill all your progress. And I was like, if anything, it might be a nice like mental relief to just not have to worry about it. Just enjoy your time with family rather than like, oh, I need to take a picture of this and that and this and the log when I get home, or I need to log when I'm, and I was like, I just, for you, I was like, just in how you are, I was like, I don't think that you need to. But for other people, for other clients, it might be a good idea to bring your scale and to track and to intuitively kind of keep track of things. And one of the, I'll actually, another kind of like, I don't know if it's like an exercise or like a homework assignment kind of thing. It's like, hey, how about you intuitively eat throughout the day? You kind of like take pictures of your meals or stuff. And then at the end of the day, sit down and kind of log everything and see where you're at and see like how the choices that you made, if you're close, if you are far off, and like how you can adjust for next time, because there are some people who struggle with going out to eat. And so again, my approach to clients and the strategies I give them all depends on where they are and kind of like what they're struggling with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And I think, you know, when it comes to those trips or like certain circumstances where it's like, do I track? Do I not track? I know for me personally, like when I got the A-OK to like not track anything on my birthday, it actually took the pressure off, because it's like, if you expect yourself to hold yourself to this unrealistic standard in a situation that is probably not going to end up in you, say, hitting your macros or your calories, then okay, well, what's going to happen when you eat one too many bites of something? You're going to go into effort mode and you're just going to eat everything. Whereas if you just get the pass to be like, look, I just want you to relax and like enjoy a couple things, you know, you might feel less of a need to really, you know, stuff yourself or whatever. At least that's been my experience. And I know a lot of clients that I work with feel the same way. And I think it's a matter of setting the right expectations for each circumstance. So like we communicate in advance about trips that are coming up. We communicate in advance about birthdays, events, that sort of thing. And so sometimes I'll set expectations with clients that make sense for what they're doing. So if they're going on a week-long vacation and, you know, maybe they are, you know, staying at a beach house and they are getting groceries, then I say, okay, well, in this situation, it's like, it's kind of like home. You could bring your food scale and that'd be fine. But, you know, let's just be a little bit more lax about it. Let's just make sure we prioritize the protein and some hydration and not really worry about everything else being perfect. I just want you to do your best. Or I had a client go and he's been working with me for 6 weeks now. And he went on his first, I guess, trip that's been within his time frame. And it was a wedding. And I was like, look, you know, we understand how at weddings, food is served to you. Like you don't have a lot of control over that. I want you to go in there and do your best, but do not expect perfection out of yourself. So it's kind of the same thing. And I said, look, you have your macro targets. They're pretty flexible. I don't want you to be upset if you're off your targets. I just want you to try to do your best to kind of adjust, because right now he's in a dedicated fat loss phase and that's important to him. He came back and there were a couple of days like slightly outside his ranges. And other than that, he was good. He lost a pound for the week. Nothing really changed. And I said, so, you know, what did you learn? What did you take away from this? Like, what did you do? He was like, well, I just like packed some breakfasts and snacks. And like, then I just like kind of made smarter decisions than I otherwise would have. And it ended up okay. Like I was a little off, but I wasn't like torn up about it. And it's about setting the right expectations going into certain things. And so I guess if you're listening to this, like, okay, how do we implement this in a practical setting? When you are going into social events, when you are going into trips, when you're just going about your day-to-day life, how you implement balance starts with how you set your expectations up. So your expectations should not be the same for if you are just in your comfort zone, in your at-home routine, versus going out for your birthday, versus going for a weekend trip or something like that, and adapting your expectations to match the circumstance and making them realistic for that.
Yeah, I agree. And I love what you said about the expectations, because I think that, and it's so interesting because it's something that we personally can set for ourselves and that can determine whether or not we are quote unquote successful or not. So if you go into it saying like, I need to be perfect, and then you mess up, it's like, well, I messed up. I already like my expectations are already blown. So I might as well go over and really make it worthwhile for me to blow my macros. So I think that that's really important. So going into it and just having a more realistic approach, like I might overeat, I might have an extra bite or two or dessert, I might have a whole plate of dessert, but it's not going to derail my progress and it'll be okay because tomorrow I'm going to get right back to it. And so one of the things you were talking about was like, oh, okay, the beach house. So, you know, we're going to get groceries. So it's like, the big thing that I think it's like working with a coach is really about healthy habits and implementing healthy habits, not just when you're cutting or not just when you're trying to be healthy, but for the entire, your entire life. And so I was thinking about how my husband and I like will go on trips, and like, if we're, if we go somewhere, my parents-in-law, my in-laws, they will be like, oh, we got protein for you. And they'll have like a little like rotisserie chicken and some like some deli meat, and they'll get eggs, and it's, you know, it's really nice. And they're thinking about us, but they know that that's something that will, that we want. And so they already have that. Or the first thing we do anywhere we go is like, well, if we don't already have, we'll grab like gallons of water because we understand that hydration is super important for us. It's going to help with digestion. We'll bring our supplements. We'll bring protein powder, and we'll bring things like rice cakes or almonds and just things that we can do to kind of fill the gaps of macros if we know that we're low or if we need some more food. But it's like that stuff that we do everywhere we go, because it's something that we implement into our daily lifestyle that it just carries over into other settings and other environments.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I'm the same way. I brought my, like my 2 weeks worth of vitamins over my 2 week winter trip to you guys too. So, I'm definitely right there with you. And I think I didn't really go into personally what my balance looks like. And I think it contrasts nicely with yours, Christina, because it's almost the opposite in some ways. So I do eat out a decent bit. I will probably go out to eat, a number of times over the weekend, you know, Friday evening, Saturday for late lunch, Saturday dinner, and usually probably sometimes even once on Sundays. And that frequency goes up and down depending on what I'm doing with my nutrition. But I eat out a lot, but I also could go 6 months without having an alcoholic drink. And so like literally the opposite, but like for me, a lot of the implementing balance is just making swaps at restaurants. So that's something that I practice a lot, is asking for things cooked without butter or oil, asking for things like vegetables on the side instead of fries, and being really mindful about what I'm ordering, because I know that I go out to eat often. So like, I'm not really missing out on anything if I do order a, quote unquote, a little smarter most of the time. And also, this made me think of just kind of how I view balance in a bigger setting. And this doesn't just go for food. I mean, we talked about food a lot. We talked about training some, but we wanted to also bring kind of like life, personal, social life, work-life balance into this. And I really do view this whole balance thing, I think a little bit differently than most people in terms of my lifelong, long-term balance. And so right now, a good example of this is how this semester has gone for me. I took on 3 jobs at once. So my coaching business, my job at the lab, and then my job at Core Nutritionals. And I'm also a full-time master's student. And I train 5 times a week and I track my macros, and there's just a lot going on in my head all the time. And this semester was not balanced. I didn't get to sit down and watch a lot of TV. I didn't get to spend a ton of time with Aaron. And I keep telling him now, like, hey, I owe you some quality time from, you know, just being supportive this semester. But you know, it was it was a short-term grind though. And, you know, it was a period of time where I knew that was what I had to do. And in general, this phase of my life where I'm adding a master's program onto my career, even though it's not something I have to do, is a short-term sacrifice for a longer-term benefit. So the way that I really view balance holistically is how, you know, I'm striving for a long-term balance. I want in 5 years to be able to, you know, sustain my business with systems that back me up, and, you know, and be able to pick up and go on a trip when I want to. I want to be able to have a really nice work-life balance in a couple of years, but that requires a lot of work on the front end, and that requires sacrifice now. And so I'm looking at my 20s, and like I told you guys, I'm a baby. I'm looking at my 20s from that perspective of, I want a prosperous life. I want to have great work-life family balance in the future. And I want to be able to provide for the family that I will have, but none of that's going to happen if I don't set that up now. And so I kind of equate this when I'm talking to clients about nutrition. I'm not telling them my life plans, but like, I'm basically telling them that if, you know, you are putting your short-term balance, quote unquote, hashtag balance first now, for example, having an indulgent cheat meal just because you feel like it, saying hashtag treat yourself, and, you know, overeating because, oh, it's been a week without a cheat meal, you deserve it. And, you know, that's not, no shame on those people or those decisions. But if your priority is something bigger than that, say if you're in a fat loss phase, putting that hashtag balance and treat yourself first before that longer term goal, and not using delayed gratification, can actually be setting you backwards. So if I were to right now say, screw all this, I'm going to quit the master's program because I don't have work-life balance, I'm going to quit everything I'm doing and just, you know, just enjoy life right now, that's not setting me up for a more successful future. So this kind of those things go hand in hand and are analogous to each other in that way. And so that's one way that I really like to explain nutrition to people, is with that mindset of delayed gratification, because there's a time and a place for hashtag balance, and there's a time and a place for being more disciplined. And it's about knowing what phase you're really in.
Yeah. And so one of the things that, and I know that you can totally relate to this as well, but one of the things I love about contest prep, and I would say one of the biggest things that I took away from that, was you could have an extremely stressful day and all you want to do is come home and have, you know, a glass of wine, or you want to have just a nice, whatever, comfort meal or something like that. And that's kind of how you want to de-stress. And in prep, you cannot do that. You have to stick to your macros, and maybe you can adjust some things and have, you know, something different. But for the most part, like, you can't do that. So it forces you to de-stress in other ways and not turn to food. So that is one of the things that I really love about that. And I've had some people who, especially where they're like, I came home, I was super stressed and I wanted a glass of wine. And so I knew that if I was turning to alcohol to de-stress, like, that was a sign that I actually should avoid that and do something else instead, because I want, you know, alcohol as a way to, like, maybe have fun or something. But if I start turning to that and using that as a coping mechanism, that's when it can get a little out of hand. And so it's like you saying like, no, I have power over this and I am choosing to do something else instead. And so again, a lot easier said than done. And it's not just like, oh, okay, yeah, that's a simple mindset thing. Like, boop, I'll never deal with that again in the future. It's like, yeah, sometimes it is nice to, like, get into, you know, a bubble bath and have a glass of wine and just de-stress, relax that way, but it shouldn't be a habit. Yeah. And so I think that that's really important when it comes to food. A lot of people stress eat. And so it's trying to find that balance between, like, giving yourself grace. Like, I had a crazy, insane day and, like, I didn't have a chance to eat. And then I got home and I just ate whatever because I didn't have anything prepared. So it's like, okay, so yes, it feels a little bit defeating, but, like, what can we learn from that? What can we learn? So when we do have these stressful days, it doesn't just derail us. And so it's like, okay, well, maybe whenever I go somewhere, I'll put a protein bar in my purse, so I have at least something, and it's better than nothing. So if something happens where I get stuck somewhere, I have food. Or I will have pre-cooked chicken in my fridge and, like, heatable rice packets. So if it's something super crazy and I want something really easy and simple and I don't want to cook dinner, well, I have prepackaged food. So it's like just small, tiny things here and there. So you can learn and feel like when you do have something stressful, you're giving yourself grace, but you can still somewhat stay on track and not let it ruin everything for you.
Yes. And I think, okay, finding the balance between giving yourself grace and being disciplined is such a hard topic. And I find myself in conversations with clients about this a lot. And I feel like there are people that skew both ways, but it's really hard to get in that middle ground, because I will have clients who, you know, they'll just mess up and mess up and mess up, and they won't be consistent and they won't be reaching their goals. And will they say, well, I just need to be kinder to myself. And I say, well, yes, like, forgive yourself, but there's something that's not happening here that you need to be doing. And so you do need to take responsibility over that. You do need to take accountability and ownership over your actions. Otherwise, these habits aren't going to change. You're just kind of hiring me to be a sounding board and not doing anything about it. Mm-hmm. And so there's that side of it. And then I have people who, you know, don't give themselves enough grace. So then they mess up and mess up and mess up. They say, well, I just need to be less lazy. I just need to be better. I just need to do this. And it's like, okay, well, if you're not forgiving yourself, then there's this cycle of guilt and shame going on that's perpetuating you not being able to do this. And so we really do want to find that place of, I accept what I did was not conducive to my goals. I forgive myself for that. And there's nothing that I can do about that now. And so moving forward, being productive and positive in the way that you take action afterward is really hard. And it's definitely, like you said, easier said than done, but like, that's the place where we want to be, right? Is taking ownership and being disciplined and allowing ourselves to be forgiven for the mistakes that we made in the past. Like you said, everything is a learning experience. I think, you know, I couldn't have said it better. Like, counselor Christina has checked in for the day.
And it's funny because right now I came into the school. So if you guys have been following my journey, so I am a school counselor. I just transitioned from high school to elementary, and we came in. I transitioned into February, and the kids came back, I think March or like beginning of April. And so I have to go in and do classroom lessons for the kiddos. And I had like 6 or 7 weeks left of lessons. And so I was like, okay, so these kids haven't had any lessons throughout the entire year. I've got 7 weeks left. What is like my number one priority, like the things I want to teach the kids? And my biggest thing was like growth mindset. Like, that is absolutely, if I could teach anything the rest of the, you know, rest of my life, it'd be growth mindset. And I was diving deeper into this topic, into the research, and it's extremely interesting because you can tell someone, okay, growth mindset. So the idea is you either have a growth mindset or a fixed mindset, and you can have it in different situations, but we want to have more of a growth mindset because the fixed mindset is the idea of like, everything is just innate. Like, you're born with your characteristics and you are the way that you are, and that's it. And then growth mindset is, no, we have the ability to change our situations. I'm not smart. I just haven't learned this yet, or I can't do this yet, but it's something that I'm going to continue to work towards. And like, my mistakes aren't failures, they're just lessons learned. And so the idea of like, we're constantly evolving. And so you can tell some, I could tell you, Marissa, do you believe in this? And you could be like, yeah, absolutely. And then I'd be like, okay, do you believe you can change? And you'd be like, oh no, like, I can't change. Other people can change. So it's really interesting. It's like this dynamic within growth mindset that we can believe that other people can change, but we don't believe it for ourselves. So I think it's really interesting too. So it's like this idea with clients that sometimes they're stuck in their own heads and they don't believe that they can actually make these changes. They feel like, well, I am just this way, or this is the way it's always been. And so I think it's really interesting. We've talked about this before in the past, but coaches are not just, here are your workouts, here are your macros, and go. We are, you know, we have to really dive into the psychology of each individual person and find what is going to work best for them. But it's what is that approach? Like, are they someone who needs that tough love? Do they need someone to ask them the hard questions and, you know, really self-analyze their response to their week or this stressful situation? Or do they need someone to say, no, Marissa, you need to give yourself grace. You need to allow yourself to know that it's okay to not be perfect, that, yeah, you had an extremely stressful week. The fact that you still got all of your workouts in, like, that's amazing. And so they almost need that reassurance. And so it's really like, someone may respond really well to something, but another client would be like put off by it. So it is very interesting. And it's a lot more of that psychological aspect and how am I going to get this client to respond to what I'm trying to tell them?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the art of coaching is mm-hmm. learning people, not just programs and protocols. Mm-hmm. Like, can study a textbook all day, but if I don't get to know the person that I'm working with, then it's pointless. Because once you hit one barrier to entry of, okay, this person isn't doing this exercise because of something that came up, or this person is not able to stick to their diet, but okay, well, how do we address that? And I think a lot of what you said kind of just plays into, okay, well, how do we figure out what's going to be right for the person? But in all seriousness, like, when we are talking about hashtag balance, that is really just, I guess, a vehicle for us to talk about how do we make a lifestyle that is sustainable. Because your balance, and most people that are listening to this are probably just, again, looking to live a healthy lifestyle and really embody that, and embody the balance and body, being able to be healthy and fit and feel good and confident, but also enjoy the things that they want to enjoy. That's the end goal for most people, is that hashtag balance. So how do we get there is, I think, a good place to kind of wrap up. Is, I think, like you said, you have to ask yourself the hard questions. Either you have to ask yourself that, or you have to have a coach ask you those hard questions to really reflect on, like, okay, well, what is your end goal? And I think what we talked about with Dr. Fundero really has stuck with me ever since we had that conversation, where she said that she asks clients, well, describe your day right now, and then describe your ideal day. And not like a crazy fantasy day, but like what your ideal day would be in your normal day-to-day life. And it's really not all that different. But people are focused more on, well, I feel good about what I eat, I make good choices, I make balanced choices, I exercise regularly, and I have good relationships. And so then we address the gap between where we are now and where that is, and the habits that need to change in order to get there. So right now, do we make choices that make us feel guilty? For example, do we overeat on the weekends? Do we feel the need to get it all out of our system? Okay, well, then we address that gap. And we make sure, okay, maybe we need to eat enough throughout the week and throughout every day so that we don't feel the urge to go ham on the weekend. And then we're always making decisions that make us feel good. And that includes a treat here and there. Maybe flexible dieting and macro tracking is an approach that gets us from that point A to point B, because it shows us that we can incorporate incorporate the foods that we love into our day and still see the results that we want. And maybe that's the framework that we use to build that mindset. And then when we no longer need the numbers, then we do away with that gradually. But that's how maybe we address that gap and close those things together.
Yeah. So again, it's like, well, balance for you might be staying on track throughout the week and then taking some intuitive days on the weekends. And like, that is balance for you. And so it's what is going to make you feel the most fulfilled and happy with how you're eating and your habits throughout the day. So I think that that's really important. It's like, how do we bridge that gap? How do we get that balance and what that looks like for you?
Yeah. And I think a big part of it that is hard to accept for most people is that it does take a certain amount of permanent change. And so my tagline when I redid my branding around this time last year has become personalized habits, permanent change. And that permanent change is really hard for a lot of people to grasp, because it's like, most people are familiar with meal prepping for 6 weeks or 12 weeks and doing their diet and then doing away with it. But the idea of having some kind of a meal prep framework in for their life is a little bit more foreign. And figuring out that, okay, well, it's not, I'm going to make 12 meals and they're going to be perfectly portioned into little Tupperware and they're going to be nice and pretty and I'll get an Instagram photo with it. It's not that. It's okay, maybe I just cook a ton of chicken from Costco so that it's just there and ready. Like maybe I just run the rice cooker and that's just there and ready. And that's your quote unquote meal prep, but like how much easier does that make your day-to-day life, right? And so maybe that's something that you can accept as something permanent rather than this thing that's exhaustive and takes all this effort. So sustainable change is realistic change and therefore leads you towards what that hashtag balance should look like.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. And it's not like, so I feel like when you're in this dieting phase, I don't know if it's your habits, but the things that you do are a little bit more intense and they're more,
intentional.
Purposeful, intense, and intentional. So it's like, I have to measure out my meals. I need to be very mindful of this and I have to make sure I'm doing all this and I'm hitting my macros. And so it's like, how can we do that, change it up a little bit. So we're still kind of in that mindset, but it's not as intense. So again, like you mentioned, I think the meal prep is a really, really good one. So it's like, you don't need to do all your individual meals. It's just like, what can I do to have something in the fridge that I can grab and go, or I can make a really simple dinner. Or if I want, I can cook, and I can cook a really nice meal if I want to. But if not, because like sometimes I, when my husband is not home, I get really lazy to cook for myself, and I don't like to cook nice dinners for myself. I'm like, well, I just want some chicken and like rice. I'm super lazy sometimes, which is really interesting, but I've found that with myself, because I want to work. And so I don't want to spend an hour cooking something just for myself. So that's just something easy for me. I'm like, oh, I bought those microwavable rice packs because they're so easy and I don't want to do the rice cooker. And so again, it's just small little things here and there that just, they add up. And again, it's having like a tiny bit of discipline, but we're still able to implement balance. And so it's like, well, maybe I have that and I can have like a couple cookies later for dinner or for dessert or something like
for
that.
Dinner.
But for dinner. Yeah. I mean, if it was up to me, and I have cookies for every single meal, but I can't do that. So I'll have something little, you know, I don't know.
Well, the language there, I think some people, a lot of people, and you probably didn't do this intentionally, but a lot of people speak in like, oh, well, I can't have cookies for dinner. But a lot of times what it takes is the language change of, oh, feeling like I can't, to like, well, I don't really want to do that. Right. And that's where that shift happens. And I don't think you actually think that way, but it made me kind of think of that. And I think exactly what you were describing is we make these habits a little bit less intense. We turn down that dial that you made an analogy to last episode. So that was a really great analogy. And I think, you know, if we're at a level 10 on that dial, when we're cutting, the habits stay there, but we turn that intensity down to a 6 instead of a 0, right? Because most people go off the diet, they go from a 10 to a 0, but we want to stay at that, you know, moderate to slightly higher percent of effort, but right, something that you can actually see yourself doing.
Right. Because when that dial is turned to like a 20, that is not maintainable. That is not something that you can maintain for a long time. You're going to experience a ton of burnout. You're probably going to drive away all your friends and family because you're just so extreme. So it's just turning it back a little bit, keeping the same habits, but being flexible with them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love where this conversation went. And I mean, maybe it was because we addressed being present in the beginning, but like, I just felt super present in this conversation. And like, we really got to a lot of things that were not what we discussed talking about before we came on here, but like are super valuable for this whole concept.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that a lot of times when we come into these calls, or it's called, they seem like calls, but we're on Zoom. When we come into these episodes, we really have our clients at the forefront of our minds. And so we take a lot of the experiences that they go through and how we are able to help them. And I think that, I mean, we want to help as many people as possible. And so it's like, we're taking what they're telling us and hopefully helping more people out there as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I don't have anything else to add. So
I think that was a really good episode. So
sweet.
So we hope that you guys enjoyed the episode as much as we did. If you haven't already, please make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. You can find both of us on Instagram. You can find me at Chrissy Lynn Fit, and Marissa is at Marissa Roy Fitness. Thank you guys so, so much for listening, and we hope to see you back next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast, and we hope you enjoyed this episode and learned something from it. Please remember that Christina and I are not medical professionals, so if you're going to make any changes to your exercise or nutrition routines, please consult with your doctor or medical team first. Finally, we would love you even more than we already do if you took the time to leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Ratings and reviews are how this podcast moves up the ranks and becomes accessible to even more people. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next Tuesday here at the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast.